This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Investor Download podcast. My name's David Brett, and on today's show, we discuss the war on plastics, why it's important to investors.
When you look at the externalities generated by companies that have a negative impact on the environment or society, we see that burden becoming so great that that's then being brought back onto companies in terms of tax. So, for example, we've seen signs of that with growing global obesity and how that's transformed into sugar taxes. And I think there are a lot of similarities here with the scale of plastic pollution and the burden that that's creating on the global environment.
The potential effects on company profits.
We identified that there were really laggards in the soft drink sector, and they may see margins drop by as much as 5%, whereas leaders in the household and personal goods sectors may see cost savings contributing up to 2% of margin improvement.
And whether COVID-19 has ended the war?
I think we've certainly seen a short-term increase in demand for plastic, either through PPE or concerns around kind of food hygiene and safety. But we really think that this is a short-term blip, and actually the regulation trend is very clear, and the underlying problem of plastic pollution isn't going away.
And welcome to the show. I hope you're all safe and well. And if you're in the UK, staying off the beaches. As you may or may not know, it's Plastic Free July this month. It's a global movement that helps millions of people be part of the solution to plastic pollution, so you can have cleaner streets, oceans, and more beautiful communities. It comes amid a pandemic which has seen the demand for plastics, in particular single-use plastics, soar in recent months. Demand is up threefold in the US, that's according to The Economist, and global consumption is set to rise by 5% for the year in 2020. So we thought we'd take the opportunity to discuss the war that is waging on plastics before the pandemic, whether COVID-19 has ended that war and how it affects businesses, and ultimately why investors should care. With me on the show today to help discuss these issues is Elliot Irving. She's head of engagement at Schroders. Ellie, welcome to the show. First of all, how are you, and how's lockdown been treating you?
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on the show. Lockdown has definitely been a busy time, and there's been even more focus, I think, on sustainability and how companies are behaving through this time. But on a personal note, I've really enjoyed spending more time with my family.
Yeah, that must be a lovely feeling. Just on your job title, head of engagement, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, great question. So as part of our active ownership commitment, we really spend a lot of time speaking with the companies that we invest in, speaking with the management of those companies, the sustainability specialists, to either understand new and emerging risks like single-use plastic, or try and use our power as shareholders to really influence those companies' practices.
Okay, we can't discuss what the war on plastics means for businesses more broadly without discussing the part that Schroders is playing itself. For that, we have Louisa Minter-Kemp. She helps drive corporate sustainability initiatives at Schroders. Louisa, nice to speak to you, and how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yeah, great to be on the show as well. I think it's been a great time in terms of getting to spend more time with the family. I've been down in Devon, so lots of countryside walks, and now back up in London and enjoying being back in the city, to be honest.
Okay, so in the first part of the show, we're going to get straight to the point and ask why investors should care about the war on plastics.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to The Investor Download.
So I was reading an article in The Guardian that quoted research from the Plymouth Marine Laboratory, which estimated the cost to society of global plastic pollution in the world's oceans was around $2.5 trillion. That might be on the low end of the scale as well. Clearly, it's having a huge impact on society. But Ellie, why should investors care?
Thanks, David. I think plastics has been on the radar for corporates for a very long time. We've seen commitments to reduce plastic waste in, for example, manufacturing for consumer goods companies for a long time. But it felt like 2018 was really a turning point. As many of you may have seen, the David Attenborough TV programme Blue Planet, I think really shone a spotlight on the problems of the ocean plastics you've just mentioned and the scale of the problem that we face there. This really caught consumers' attention, and that seemed to be a catalyst for changing consumer behaviour.
Probably quite a lot of people have heard of ESG, which is environmental, societal and governance, and it's a measure of how a company is performing. But how much of an important part does plastic play in the measurement of the environmental part of that?
That's a great question. And when we saw this kind of spike in 2018, my colleague Seema Suchak and I actually conducted some thematic research to really understand, OK, what does this mean for the companies that we're investing in? And I think at the time there were a lot of headlines around ocean plastics, about the need to ban plastic bags and plastic straws. But we really wanted to take a holistic view. And so we published a research note in 2018 that actually looked at the whole value chain. So we looked at the oil and gas companies producing oil for petrochemical companies, how the chemical companies were developing that raw material, how packaging manufacturers were looking at this problem, then the consumer goods companies, and then finally waste collection and recycling. And we really tried to understand the risks and opportunities along that full value chain to understand what this issue means for each of those industries.
And I presume companies aren't doing this off their own backs. So what are the regulators and governments asking companies to do?
You're right. So there was definitely an increase in consumer awareness and change in behaviour, but regulation was also a key catalyst at this time. So the focus in particular has been on single-use plastic. And our first research note in 2018 identified 17 national regulations that had been introduced around this issue. When we revisited the issue at the end of last year in 2019, we saw this number jump to 60 new regulations. So the direction of travel is really clear. And we've tried to assess in our research how well place companies are to respond to this regulation, and perhaps even some opportunities for companies that are innovating more sustainable packaging, or looking at, for example, developing bioplastics as the raw material.
Okay, so there's pressure on companies from regulators and governments, but how do Schroders as an investment firm actually measure and engage with companies on their use of plastics?
So we actually took the opportunity after our first research piece in 2018 to really meet with all of the companies along the value chain to understand their position and understand the challenges they face and the opportunities they face. We found that transparency on this issue was rather limited at that time in company reporting. So we engaged with over 100 companies. And what we found was, interestingly, there was a very regional split in company responses. So we found that companies in the US and Europe were very concerned about regulation, whereas in Asia, we saw that actually the primary concern was more about consumer concerns rather than regulation. So companies have started publishing some very ambitious targets, and I think we will be monitoring those closely, but we felt already that those are too ambitious and they will be difficult to reach. And we've even seen some companies water down some of those targets, and we will continue to monitor that, especially post-COVID.
And which sectors are most likely to be affected?
We did some analysis for our first research note, looking more closely at the consumer goods sector. So we took three steps in analysing that sector. First, we looked at the natural capital costs. So this is looking at the environmental costs involved in the raw materials, the manufacture, the use of the product, and the end of life disposal. This helped us to identify that food producers, soft drinks companies, and household and personal care sectors were at highest risk because they had the greatest natural capital costs. We then looked at what would happen if we internalise those costs, and we found that 81% of their operating profit would be lost. So this is really an unrealistic cost to look at. So we looked at single-use plastic tax that were being considered at the time. So we took a 10% rate, which was the proposed single plastic tax on coffee cups. We also looked, thirdly, at the savings to offset these costs through packaging efficiencies, lightweighting, and companies rewarding companies who had already invested in R&D to reduce their packaging. Bringing these three elements together, we identified that there were really laggards in the soft drink sector, and they may see margins drop by as much as 5%, whereas leaders in the household and personal goods sectors may see cost savings contributing up to 2% of margin improvement.
So we could actually see an effect in how much profit these companies do or don't make.
Yes, that's right, from our initial research.
Okay, and just a final question for this part. Has COVID-19 changed the landscape in terms of plastics?
I think we've certainly seen a short-term increase in demand for plastic, either through PPE or concerns around kind of food hygiene and safety. But we really think that this is a short-term blip, and actually the regulation trend is very clear, and the underlying problem of plastic pollution isn't going away. Unlike carbon emissions, we haven't seen a dip through the COVID-19 pandemic, and the volume of plastic pollution is still a material risk.
Okay, so having discussed all that, in the next part of the show, it's only fitting that we discuss what Schroders is doing as part of the war on plastics.
Get in touch with us by email at schroderspodcasts@schroders.com or visit our website schroders.com/investor download.
So as investors, if you're trying to hold other businesses to account for their plastic policies, then you better be proactive yourselves, which is why we have Louisa Minter-Kemp on the show. Louisa, let's start with how Schroders is tackling its own plastic use within the business. What exactly is it doing?
So we're doing quite a lot, actually, and I think it's something that we have been, it's been incredible to see the demand from employees and the engagement that we've had. And it was quite funny, Ellie mentioning the David Attenborough Blue Planet episode of the plastic ducks going all across the ocean, because that really felt like a turning point 2 years ago for the focus to really be driven towards removing single-use plastics in our operations across our different offices. And when we moved to our new London headquarters in 2018, it was a great chance for us to be able to swap out single-use plastics in our catering services, and we moved to a vegware product, which is a compostable plant-based product, and it helps to solve some of the issues around traditional recycling where there's contamination of food. So the use of vegware products can actually be turned back into compost and go back onto agricultural land and used in that way as well. One of the things that we do and we really try to focus on is collaboration and partnerships. And we work with our supplier Paperround to maximise the environmental value of our recycling. And what I mean by that is making sure that our recycling gets turned back into reusable, high-quality products and creating a circular economy. So that means turning the waste that we send from our buildings and making sure that the waste gets used in replace of raw materials to make products that we rely on.
I'm probably like myself, and Ellie as well, we've been away from the office for quite a long time. Has COVID-19 affected any of the policies within the building or within Schroders at all?
Yeah, so we have moved back towards using mostly vegware products in our canteen. So before we had moved just to cutlery and plates and so on, but now it's gone back. But given the fact that vegware does get turned back into compost, I think that we're still in a really good position for keeping our waste down and being able to have a limited impact on plastics specifically.
Okay, and we have all been encouraged to sign up to something called the Plastic Pledge. Would you mind just giving a brief explanation as to what the Plastic Pledge is?
Yeah, of course. So last year we partnered with Hannah Mills. She's a British Olympic sailor and founder of the Big Plastic Pledge. And as I mentioned before, for us it's really important to be partnering with organisations and suppliers in how to tackle the plastics crisis. And what Hannah does through the Big Plastic Pledge is try to eradicate single-use plastic in sport. And it's not just for athletes, but it's also for watchers as well. And it's about trying to raise the profile of the damaging effects that single-use plastic has on the environment. And being a sailor, Hannah's seen, year on year, the plastic getting worse in the water. So they've now, since the launch, they've now had 3,000 people sign up to take pledges, and you can sign up to one yourself or even make up your own by having a look on their website. You're able to get some inspiration of what pledges that you can take.
Schroders engages with investee companies, but Louisa, what does it look like from the inside, and beyond regulations, or what will drive change?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, and it's been really interesting to see, as I've already mentioned, employee engagement. I think corporates will, you know, internally face a lot more scrutiny from internal stakeholders, employees, to remove single-use plastic, have alternatives. So I think there'll be a driving force for future to do this.
Excellent stuff. So that's what Schroders has been doing as part of their plastic pledge. So in the final part of the show, we'll look at the sectors and businesses most likely affected by the war on plastic and what the future holds. Earlier in the show, we discussed why the war on plastics was so important to investors. Here we look at the areas of the market most likely to be affected. First of all, Ellie, what does the future legislation look like? Will we see a toughening or loosening of stances, particularly given the pandemic?
I think we'll certainly see a toughening of regulation going forward. This is a really material issue and it's not going away. I think we'll see that regulation broadening beyond single-use plastic, but focusing even more on recycled content and maybe even focus on emerging trends such as microplastics, which are contaminating the food chain. I think we'll see a toughening in this area for several reasons, because we're seeing this across a lot of sustainability issues. When you look at the externalities generated by companies that have a negative impact on the environment or society, we see that burden becoming so great that that's then being brought back onto companies in terms of tax. So, for example, we've seen signs of that with growing global obesity and how that's transformed into sugar taxes. And I think there are a lot of similarities here with the scale of plastic pollution and the burden that that's creating on the global environment.
So if the future legislation looks a little bit tougher, where are the threats, or what are the threats and opportunities?
I think we can draw on our original research from 2018 and identify along the value chain that it seems to be really packaging, manufacturing and consumer goods where the risks are greatest. There are certainly opportunities for the chemical companies and the waste collection and recycling sectors. I think what we've also identified through our research is really the first movers will benefit, the ones that have already invested in R&D, who are already innovating, who've already adapted their supply chains and manufacturing operations to try and produce more sustainable plastic.
Okay, and I mean, how do companies transition to the new world? So those that might be struggling at the moment.
We think that there's already some great frameworks out there to help companies in this transition. For example, the new plastic commitment from the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. So this looks at the issue in three parts. First, eliminating waste, thinking about what's the kind of avoidable packaging within their products. Secondly, to innovate. How can we phase out, look at new materials? Can we use materials that are compostable, like Louisa just mentioned on vegware? And thirdly, circulate. So this is the idea of moving to a circular economy, a closed loop system. Can we either reuse certain plastics, or can they be recycled and go back into the system?
Okay, so the final question, I mean, there's lots of focus on plastics. I suppose the glaring question to ask is, if plastics are so bad, why don't we just use alternatives?
I think that's a good question, but with our conversations with over 100 companies, I think it's just really highlighted some of the challenges, either in being able to recycle plastics. If we look at some consumer goods you may have at home, they're probably made from multiple plastics. So how do you recycle those, separate out all of those elements and recycle them? At the other end of the scale, what we've learned from many of the retailers, they talk about the challenges in the infrastructure. That are people actually able to recycle? And we know how, even across different counties here in the UK, there are different recycling options available. At a national level, we're only recycling 39% of our plastic waste.
Okay, thanks very much. I'm just slightly concerned when I go back to the pub once they reopen, there's going to be lots of single-use plastics being delivered from behind the bar. Bearing in mind we can't share glasses anymore, but I'll hopefully try and clear my conscience before having my first drink. But thank you very much for joining us on the show today. That's excellent stuff and very informative on what's happening with plastics. It's been really nice to speak to you. Well, that was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in signing up to Hannah Mills' Plastic Pledge, go to thebigplasticpledge.com. If you want to read Ellie's report on the problems facing companies posed by plastics, go to schroders.com/insights. New episodes of the Investor Download are available every Monday and Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. And you can rate, review and subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. But most importantly, keep safe, go well, and stay off those beaches.